From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Putri to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Vice President seeks greater digital literacy among Islamic economic actors. The COVID-19 pandemic brings about threats and opportunities for Indonesian aerospace industry. Now the news in details. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has appealed to Islamic economic and financial actors to hone their digital literacy skills to survive amid the changes arising from the COVID-19 pandemic. As stated by Antarados Agency, the Vice President remarked at the virtual opening of the 2020 Sharia Economic Festival and Indonesia Sharia Economic Festival in Jakarta on Friday. Adaptation is the key to survival for all. Amin affirmed that digitalization was conducted in the wake of the changes in the current life order, including shopping for basic necessities online or through social media with the use of the internet. The Vice President, concurrently the Daily Chairperson of the National Committee for Sharia Economics and Finance, encouraged Sharia economic factors to follow fundamental changes pertaining to the development of digital technology since it is unquestionably necessary in this time and age. In the current pandemic situation, the world's air traffic has decreased by approximately 80%. This is different from the situation during the economic crisis and after the September 11, 2001 incident where air traffic only dropped by 20% at the most. This was conveyed by Ilham Habibi, chairman of the Board of Trustees of the Habibi Center, in a virtual seminar themed The Journey of the National Aerospace Industry in Jakarta on Friday. However, Ilham Habibi added, behind these threats, the Indonesian aerospace industry will be able to get through all of this due to the lack of competitors. However, I still have the hope that if we someday, inshallah, in the not too distant future from now, can go through this, later the structure of the aerospace industry in all sectors will actually be healthier because inevitably there are some competitors who may no longer be able to compete because they're out of business. But with fewer competitors and healthy growth, hopefully the industrial structure that we see in Indonesia will also follow this trend and will become healthier. A virtual seminar, The Journey of the National Aerospace Industry, was held by the Habibi Center to commemorate 25 years of National Technology Awakening Day. August 10, 1995 was a milestone in the history of technological revival in Indonesia. On that day, the N250 Gatot Kaca aircraft made by the Indonesian people successfully flew for the first time. These aircrafts, with advanced technology, was the mandate of the first president of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, embodied by the third president of the Republic of Indonesia, B.J. Habibie. The goal was to connect the Indonesian archipelago. Research and Technology Minister or National Research and Innovation Agency head Bambang Brojonegoro opined that boosting the public purchasing power was crucial for maintaining the continuity of micro, small and medium enterprises. Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, in a written statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday, stated that indeed, the government has made several efforts to restore the economy during the current pandemic. Many of micro, small and medium enterprises cannot survive during the pandemic, Those able to survive are the micro, small and medium enterprises with exposure to the digital economy. Going forward, the digital economy is expected to become one of the backbones of the national economy. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move it on to the international news. The United States added 1.8 million jobs in July, a pullback from the gains of May and June, and evidence that the resurgent coronavirus is weakening hiring and the economic rebound. As quoted by APnews.com, any other time, hiring at the level would be seen as a blowout again. But after employers seed a staggering 22 million jobs in March and April, much larger increases are needed to heal the job markets. According to the Labor Department jobs report released on Friday, the hiring of the past 3 months has recovered only 42% of the jobs lost to the pandemic-induced recession. And now, with much of the nation having paused or reversed plans to restore economic activity, many employers are still reluctant or unable to hire, and consumers remain generally hesitant to shop, travel, or eat out. As India hit another grim milestone in the coronavirus pandemic on Friday, crossing 2 million confirmed cases and more than 41,000 deaths, community health volunteers went on strike complaining they were ill-equipped to respond to the wave of the infection in rural areas. As stated by APnews.com, even as India has maintained comparatively low mortality rates, the disease has spread widely across the country, with the burden shifting in recent weeks from cities with robust health system to rural areas where resources are scarce or non-existent. The health ministry reported 62,538 cases in the past 24 hours, raising the nation's confirmed total to 2,027,074. It said 886 more people had died, for a total of 41,585. But the ministry said that recoveries were growing. India has the third highest caseload in the world after the United States and Brazil. It has the fifth most death but it. The latest on the explosion in Beirut, all times local, 5:13 p.m. Lebanese President Michael Aoun says there are two possibilities behind Tuesday's blast, either negligence or external intervention by a missile or a bomb. As stated by APnews.com, Aoun stated on Friday that he asked French for satellite images to see if there were warplanes or missiles in the air at the time of the blast. The blast is believed to have been caused when a fire touched off 2,750 tons of ammonium nitrate that had been stored at the port since it was taken from an impounded ship in 2013. The cause of the initial fire is not known. Aoun told journalists that he received information on July 20 about the restored material and immediately ordered military and security officials to do what was necessary. He did not elaborate. He said several governments in charge since 2013 received warnings about the material. Thousands in Britain sought refuge from the searing heat Friday, mobbing beaches and parks despite warnings to keep their distance from others amid the COVID-19 pandemic. With the pandemic curbing Britain's ability to travel abroad, those in need of sea air after months in lockdown pushed the rules on staying far apart. Parks also were crowded as people sought shades in temperatures predicted to rise to 37 degrees Celsius, or maybe more. As stated by APnews.com last week, the Royal National Lifeboat Institution carried out 30 rescues on just one beach on a single day in Cornwall. Kitty Norman, a water safety expert at a charity, stated, "The beaches across the whole of the Southwest are extremely busy at the moment, with both locals who are holidaying at home this year and an influx of visitors to the region." Listener, that was the news. I'm Nico Kusumati. Thank you for listening.
The commemoration of the 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence 2020
is theme Indonesia Maju, or Onwards Indonesia. Last August, representing the Pancasila, our state and nation life guidance, which was perfected by a logo that says, "Proud of Indonesian products," as efforts to nurture people's love for national products.
The anniversary logo looks like the shield of Garuda Pancasila with onwards in the nature beneath it, symbolizing economic equality and growth for Indonesian people and also the real progress of the effort to present the best for people of Indonesia.
Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country. The first comes from Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta Special Region. Cassava plantations covering an area of more than 45,000 hectares in Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta Special Region are entering the harvest period this August, with the hope of being able to support community food security in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. Head of the Gunung Kidul Agriculture and Food Service, Bambang Wisnubroto, said that currently Ngudi Raharjo Farmer Group in Ploso Kerep Hamlet, Bundar Patuk, Tumiran is developing Bima Sina, sticky-type cassava, which is much in demand by people from outside Gunung Kidul. He hopes that the price of cassava can continue to stable so that farmers can benefit. The next news comes from Jepara, Central Java. A number of investors from India are interested in investing in Jepara Regency, Central Java, bearing in mind that between Jepara and India, there are several similarities. Indian Ambassador to Indonesia Pradeep Kumar, during a working visit to Jepara Regency last Wednesday, admitted he was impressed with Jepara's furniture and carving crafts, including three-dimensional sculpture made by Jepara artists. He hopes that cooperation between Indian and Jepara investors can be intensively established. Meanwhile, the Regional Secretary of Jepara Regency Edi Sujatmiko, when receiving the Indian Ambassador, revealed that Jepara has collaborated with Indian entrepreneurs, especially in the relation to the furniture industry, which is mainstay potential. But the COVID-19 pandemic certainly has quite an impact on this cooperation. The last news comes from Jember, East Java. Former partnerships program with state-owned fertilizer company PT Pupuk Kaltim has succeeded in increasing agricultural productions in Jember Regency. Regent of Jember Faida, after attending the rice harvest in an integrated agricultural partnership program held by the Kaltim Pupuk Distributor Association in Rambi Puji District, Jember Regency last Wednesday, said that the partnerships in agriculture were able to increase yields to 10.7 tons from the usual 5 to 6 tons per hectares. According to Faida, this partnership is a form of mutual cooperation because the land cannot be added, but productivity can be increased. So to achieve success in agriculture, it is necessary to partner with many parties. Meanwhile, General Manager of Pupuk Kaltim, Yusri, said the Integrated Agricultural Partnership Program was an agro-solution program to support national fertilizer resilience and improve farmers' welfare. Listener, that was news from across the country. I'm Nuga Kusumawati.
I am Tania Velasquez Lopez, Ambassador of Cuba to Indonesia. On the occasion of the 75th anniversary of the Independence Day of the Republic of Indonesia, I would like to express my warm congratulations to the people of this sister nation and ratify the willingness to further expand our bilateral relations. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. With Today in History, we start from an event on August 8, 1945, when Stalin announced war against Japan. On August 8, 1945, Stalin, leader of the Soviet Union, announced war against Japan. Then Soviet troops attacked Manchuria, which is located in eastern China, on August 9, 1945. Previously, the Soviet Union and Japan had signed a non-aggressive agreement, but after the United States of America bombed Hiroshima, Japan was ready to surrender, and the Soviet Union used the opportunity to seize some Japanese territories. At the end of this attack, the Soviet army succeeded in capturing North Korea and the Coral Island. Until now, the Coral Island are still under Russian control, and negotiation between Russia and Japan regarding the fate of these islands have yet to come to fruition. The next event is that in 1967, ASEAN was established. The Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, is a geopolitical and an economic organization of countries in Southeast Asian region, which was established in Bangkok, Thailand on August 8, 1967, based on the Bangkok Declaration by Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Singapore, and Thailand. This organization aims to promote economic growth, social progress, and cultural development of its member countries, promote peace and stability at the regional level, and increase opportunities to peacefully discuss differences among its members. Brunei Darussalam became the first member of the ASEAN outside the five initiating countries in 1984. In 1995, ASEAN again accepted a new member, namely Vietnam. 2 years later, Laos and Myanmar joined as ASEAN members, followed by Cambodia, which currently has 10 ASEAN members. The last event is that in 1990, Indonesia and China signed MOU on normalization of diplomatic relations. The relationship between Indonesia and China has gone through the ups and downs, social and political dynamics that have occurred in the two countries. History records that Chinese Prime Minister Zhou Enlai attended the 1955 Asian-African Conference after receiving an invitation from Indonesian President Sukarno. Later, the conference gave birth to the 10 principles of the Bandung, the principle that had been driven the struggle of colonized nations to obtain independence. Relations between the two countries have also reached their lowest point marked by the freezing of diplomatic relations in 1967. This relationship reached a turning point with the start of normalization of relations on August 8, 1990, through the signing of the MOU on the resumption of diplomatic relations by the then Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Ali Alatas and China's Foreign Minister Chen Shichen in Jakarta. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
The 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence with the team Indonesia Onward. Happy 75th anniversary of Indonesian independence.
lagu ini untukmu guru. Ku bawa serta cinta kasihmu guruku. Ku bawa serta dalam setiap doaku. Terima kasihku pada guruku, kan teringat selalu belai kasihmu. Hari-hariku dibimbing selalu, ku nyanyi lagu ini untukmu guru. Ku bawa serta cinta kasihmu guruku. Ku bawa serta dalam setiap doaku. Terima kasihku pada guruku, kan teringat selalu belai kasihmu.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today on government's prepares new stimulus for economic recovery. The government is preparing a new stimulus to encourage national economic recovery, starting from increasing the income tax installment discount to additional social assistance for recipients of the Family Hope Program. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati told a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday that certain stimulus that was lacking or difficult to implement would be repaired and changed by the government. Sri Mulyani said the government will provide assistance to reduce the electricity burden of the business industry and social sector by varying the minimum bills that businesses must pay to the state-owned electricity company PLN. She explained so far business players have an obligation to pay minimum bills even though the electricity usage is much smaller when business operations are decreasing. This is burdensome. The government asked PLN not to issue minimum bills to the business industry and social sectors anymore so that these customers only pay for what they use. According to Sri Mulyani, the stimulus is very useful, especially for the tourism, hotel, and trade sector. The government has prepared 3 trillion rupiah for cover the minimum electricity bills for the business world. In addition, the government also increased the income tax installment discount from the current 30% to 50%. Meanwhile, the government will provide extra rise in additional social assistance for 10 million people of the Family Hope Program through a 4.6 trillion rupiah budget, while direct cash assistance of 500,000 rupiah for 10 million recipients of basic food cards outside the program will be paid in August 2020. Not only that, the government has also provided productive social assistance for 12 million micro, small and medium enterprises amounting 2.4 million rupiah, with a total budget of around 30 trillion rupiah. Finally, the government is reviewing the provision of salary assistance to 13 million workers whose wages are below 5 million rupiahs, with a budget preparation of 31.2 trillion rupiah. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Aku cinta padamu, terlalu sayang kepadamu. Kala ku lihat maaf di matamu, mungkin ku lukai hatimu. Kala ku lihat janji di hatiku, tak mungkin ku tinggalkan dirimu. Karena kaulah yang terindah.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Radio Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, we are going to take you to enjoy the beauty of Oetune Beach in East Nusa Tenggara, which is precisely located in Oebelo, South Amanuban, South Central Timor Regency, Timor Island, East Nusa Tenggara Province. The distance is around 115 kilometers from Kupang City, with a travel time of about 3 hours by motor vehicles. Oetune Beach has a unique characteristic of breaking waves. The waves follow each other about 4 times in a minute. The sand is very soft and easy to move, so it is necessary to be careful when walking on it. Visiting this beach is like being in the desert. The scenery is so beautiful and charming. The stretch of sand can be used for sandboarding or sand skiing because several dunes resemble hills. However, you have to bring your sled because there are no rental facilities here. For beginners, you can try on a path with a height of 1 to 2 meters, while for professionals, you can go to a higher path, which is 5 until 7 meters. The combination of the vast desert and turquoise sea looks exotic. To reach Oetune Beach, visitors must cross the Southern Passage, which was inaugurated by President Suharto in the early 1990s. Your trip is colored with nice hills and Timorese houses. Oetune Beach is open 24 hours a day. The entrance fee for each person is 3,000 rupiahs, while the parking fee is 1,000 rupiahs. On this Oetune Beach, apart from having a place to rinse after playing with water, there are also stalls selling food and soft drinks, as well as palm fruit. The best time to visit Oetune Beach is at sunrise, because at that time, the view is extraordinarily beautiful. Usually, visitors must leave at 1 a.m. from Kupang City because to get to Oetune Beach, it takes approximately 3 to 4 hours. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Oetune Beach in East Nusa Tenggara. We'll meet again with other interesting topics. See you!
Hello Indonesia, this is Cameron McKay, the Ambassador of Canada to Indonesia. I would like to wish you a happy 75th anniversary of your Independence Day. My team and I are working hard to make the relationship between Canada and Indonesia even stronger for the benefit of all our people. Dirgahayu, Republik Indonesia.
Sulit ku melangkah. telah pergi. Bila kau masih di sini, gagal diriku melupa. Tiap engkau menyapa, aku masih menyayangimu. Aku masih cinta padamu. Bila masih saja kita bertemu, semakin susah hati ini untuk melupakanmu. Telah ku hapus fotomu dari bingkai di kamarku, tapi masih ada wajahmu singgahi mimpi-mimpi. Aku masih menyayangimu dan aku masih cinta padamu. Bila masih saja kita bertemu, semakin susah hati ini untuk melupakanmu. Oh, yeah. Selalu kau buatku luluh dengan kata-katamu. Semakin ku hindari, semakin aku
Well, listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about ITS student wins a judge award at the International Vehicle Design Event. Listener, a student of the 10 November Institute of Technology ITS makes Indonesia proud at the world level. He is Made Arya Satria Dewanga from the ITS Product Design Department. He succeeded in winning the hearts of the judges and received a judge award with his design work called Audi Convert Search and Rescue Edition, or ACSAR, at the 2020 Michelin Challenge Design with the theme Upcycle recently. ACSAR is a search and rescue car design capable of driving in the difficult and varied terrain that exists around the world. The design of this car utilizes a uniball, which is various types of tires with different field functions that are spherical. This annual vehicle design innovation competition is organized by one of the leading tire manufacturers from France. Made Arya Satria Dewanga is one of 13 young designers from around the world who received the judge award. Meanwhile, the winner of the 2020 competition is a Brazilian designer. The judges in this competition are the people in charge of the design and construction of well-known manufacturers around the world, and academics from various well-known universities in the world. Mades said that the ACSR modified the design of the 2017 winner's car, the Audi Convert by John Min Woo and Nam Dong Hoon, which were designs for Le Mans racing cars. He utilizes a car chassis and uniball technology, which is then modified to become a SAR car. There is also another supporting design to facilitate SAR missions, namely quick scan diagnosis, which is for injured victims. Next, it is reusable tire, a car tire that can return to a bowl shape when removed or replaced. Then there is the search drone, which is a multifunctional assistant who is agile and flexible to reach difficult areas and can lift the supermed box or medical box that contains all the needs of the victim. Finally, the electric winch is useful for supporting the car when it gets stuck in mud or rocks and pulls the victim to the shore of the lake. The ACSR creation was the result of Made's curiosity about the world of SAR. According to Made, the existing SAR cars were designed only for one special field for optimal performance, so it requires a different car model and specifications for each terrain to be traveled. Take for example, a car for a mission in a forest is different from that in an ice field. Made said that the ACSR is a complete package that supports economic, social, and environmental aspects. He also explained that ACSR, which applies the upcycle principles, has environmentally friendly and sustainable principles. Upcycle is a creative transfer of the function of a product or design that has existed so that it has more values than the previous design. Although he does not expect much that this design can be realized in the near future, he hopes this design can inspire the public. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. Thank you for listening.
I am Valery Kalisnik, Ambassador of the Republic of Belarus to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th Independence Day to the people of Indonesia. May the relationship between Belarus and Indonesia get stronger and provide benefits to the people of the two countries. Saya berharap Indonesia damai, sejahtera, dan pembangunan sukses. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Hanya dirimu yang
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to present a keroncong song entitled Panorama Indonesia. The song Panorama Indonesia was composed by Budiman BJ. It describes the beauty of wealth on Indonesian nature, such as towering mountains, valleys, canyons, and green forests. Beautiful beaches create peace in the heart. The song has been sung by Indonesian keroncong singers. One of them is Ri Widadi. This time, the song Panorama Indonesia will be sung by Panji Asmoro, who is the winner of Student Keroncong Singing Competition in 1985 until 1986. Well, listener, here is Panji Asmoro with the song entitled Panorama Indonesia.
Warna ceria. indahnya panorama ini, Nusantaraku adik. Gunung memuncak tinggi, lemah dan ngarah, hutan menghijau. Semoga di kaki langit, pandangan luas nan jauh, di antara remang-remang pantai, seiring nada simfoni rasa damai. Indahnya langit lasuwardi, rona warna ceria,
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Dalla. See you on the next English program.